Hello, I'm Dr. Peggy Banks, and I'm here with my friend Babbie Mason.
Hello, Dr. Peggy Banks.
Nice to see you again,
so
my friend.
So good to see you, my friend.
This topic that we've been talking about, what it means to wait on the Lord as He's working in our lives and maybe we don't see anything changing and what's really going on, is a topic I want to continue talking about because there's some real practical things that we can do as we are being trained up, if you will, prepared for that work that God is going to give us to do and call us to do. So just like any other kind of professional athlete who has to learn the sport and start practicing the sport and practice for years and years and years in order for his performance to reach a level that's professional, takes many years and much discipline. So how does that translate into our lives, Babbie, as women in ministry, women who are seeking the Lord and wanting to be good wives, good mothers, good employees, good bosses? How does that translate into our lives? Let's talk about that.
You know, Dr. Peggy, when I think of practice and practicality, I think of playing the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I took a lot of years of piano.
Yeah, I took 1 year. That's why you're a lot better than I am.
But see, you're a lot better at something else like, you know,
yes.
Racquetball
right.
and athletics and yeah. aerobics. And, you know, so it's yes. the same principle.
Yes, yes.
I remember when I first started playing the piano, I played in the key of C. You know, those people that are musicians know that in the key of C, you play all the white notes, you know, basically.
Okay.
You can formulate, a C chord, F chord, a G chord. You can play basic piano without having to bump into what we call accidentals or black notes or flats or sharps.
Okay.
It's real easy to play in the key of C. But as you transpose and you take what you've learned to other keys, you have to navigate the black notes.
Okay.
And meaning it's more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's more difficult to play a major scale in the key of B because you have to navigate black notes, sharps, and flats.
Right.
But it takes practice. On the very first day, it might feel a little awkward to play in the key of B. But if you keep playing in the key of B over and over and over again, pretty soon you can play in the key of B, and you can play in the key of F, in the key of G, in the key of D, in the key of A flat.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, now I've been playing the piano now for almost 50 years. I can play in pretty much every key with my eyes closed.
Oh, wow.
But my point is that it takes practice. And at first, practice is difficult. But over time, with discipline and not only practice but application, because you have to take what you learn and put it out there sooner or later
yeah.
on a stage.
Right.
You know, you learn to lead, but sooner or later, what do leaders do? They lead people.
Yes.
You know,
there's right. If there's nobody following you, then you're
probably not a leader.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But there are people following you.
Yes.
And
yes.
there are people following the Apostle Paul.
Right.
Because he says in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, the 9th verse, he says those things, which in verse 8, I'll just go back to verse 8. Mm-hmm. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
Mm-hmm.
And the God of peace shall be with you.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is such a powerful statement because Paul is actually showing us how to lead.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually showing us how to follow.
Right.
He's saying, whatever you've seen me do, whatever you've heard me say, and that is such a powerful testimony of a man who has placed his confidence in the Lord. He's confident in his gifts, and he is saying, follow me, do what I do, follow me as I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes we're thinking, well, a leader like Peggy Banks, she's going all around the world. She's leading women to the Lord. But listen, if you're a mom,
mm-hmm.
you're a leader.
Yes, right.
If you're a dad,
mm-hmm.
you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a teacher, if you're teaching little ones, you know, in school, you're a leader. If you're a neighbor, you're a leader. There are people who are taking notes on you all the time. They're listening to the words you say.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching how you treat your family. They're patterning maybe patterning their marriage mm-hmm. after your marriage.
Yes,
there
yes.
are people that I know that have been married 50 and 60 years.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I'm patterning my marriage
yes.
after them.
Yes, yes.
My mom and dad were married almost 50 years.
Wow.
I watched them navigate, you know, difficulty as a pastor. My daddy was a pastor.
Sure.
My mom, listen, when you're working with, quote, church folk, mm-hmm. you can, it's not always pretty.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can be hurt.
Yeah.
By church people. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that.
No, and I think that can be the greatest hurt sometimes when you place your trust in people who you think are holy and righteous, which they are because of Christ, but we're also
But they're human.
Right.
Exactly. And I've seen my mom and my dad, you know, hurt and wounded by things that happened in church.
Sure.
But I watched how they navigate.
Yeah.
And I watched how they rebounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched how they didn't take their stuff to the street,
mm-hmm.
but they took their challenges to close friends, other pastors and pastors' wives
yes.
who were experiencing a lot of the same things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though my parents are deceased, they left a great heritage. And so now me and Charles are married 37 years.
Wow, that's great.
It hasn't always been pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are days when I pray the wrong prayer. God, will you help me to just train up my husband in the way he should go? You know, but I'm asking God to help me to follow in my parents' footsteps because there were a lot of things that they did right.
Yeah.
And that is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Follow me as I follow Christ.
One of the things I love about this passage in Philippians, which can be difficult for some of us and to really practically do it, is taking our thoughts captive, you know, changing the way we're thinking about mm-hmm. something, because sometimes we feel guilty that we're not thinking things that are loving, or we want to give up, or we, you know, it's just not honoring to the Lord. The things we're thinking about other people can be judgmental. And so, you know, we think we've already failed God and what good is it? But Paul says here, no, you can change your thinking. You know, that's something we can start practicing on a regular basis, to change the thinking and to think, okay, Paul says, think about things that are honorable, right? Things that are just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. So for a practical principle here is to write down scriptures that are just, that God's word says are true and are lovely and are honoring to the Lord. You know, that we are called to love one another, that we're called to serve one another, that we're called to forgive one another when we're in a place in our marriages or our friendships or with our boss and we've been hurt and we're withholding forgiveness, right? We have this grudge now. It's going to keep us from growing as a Christian. But Paul says, listen, change your thinking. Start to think on passages that are true, that are right, that are lovely.
You mentioned the passage, taking every thought captive.
Yes.
Well, how do you practically do that? You know, when I think of taking something captive, it's arrested.
Yeah.
It's under lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we do with our thoughts.
Yeah.
When something that is... the Apostle Paul says, whatever things are true. Well, if a thought comes into my mind that's not true, mm-hmm. I take it captive. Mm-hmm. I arrest it.
Yes.
I put it on lockdown mm-hmm. and say, no, you will not go any further in my mind. Talk yourself through it.
Exactly.
And then you exchange
right.
whatever is not true or whatever is not holy or whatever is not righteous with that which is. And how do you do that? With the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, I know it's in Psalm 119, that's mm-hmm. a long chapter,
mm-hmm.
but in that passage somewhere is this verse that says,
yeah.
hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against him.
Mm-hmm.
And that parallels with this passage.
Yes.
So how do you do that? You exchange that thought that is not honest mm-hmm. or not true
mm-hmm.
with that which is.
Yes.
And you call up. The Holy Spirit will help you. He will bring that passage back to your remembrance.
Yes.
So, Lord, I won't be anxious for anything.
Right.
Or whatever that passage is.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be anxious, but I will trust in the Lord with all my heart.
Yes.
And I won't lean to my own understanding, but everything I will do, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You put it into practice.
You really do. And I think it's helpful to have friends that you can bounce these ideas off of and these thoughts off, you know, with each other and say, this situation happened at work today and this is what I'm thinking, right? That's why I like to say to women, not so much what are you feeling, because your feelings come from a thought. So if you have a thought that somebody is discounting you or doesn't think you're valued, or then you start to feel less than, you start to feel insecure, you start to feel angry.
So, and your emotions run away with
your emotions, right? And you start to act out in your emotions. And so I like to think, okay, what are you thinking? And then we take that thought captive, because, you know, maybe that person did not say that and was not thinking those things, right? That you are not worth anything or don't have a voice at the table, or, you know, whatever it is that you feel you've been, your husband hasn't noticed something or recognized something, and you start to have this thought of, he doesn't love me, I'm not important to him, all those things that may not be true, to where then you can take that thought and, like you said, Babby, we have to replace it, right? Take our thoughts captive and replace them with God's word that is true, to where you're not going to feel like saying that. You're not going to feel that thought at all, you know, but it's replacing it over and over again, where God redeems, where he gives you a new heart and he gives you that peace, sometimes even if your circumstances haven't even changed.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's pray for those that are listening right now, that the Holy Spirit will help us.
Yes.
He will help us take charge, to arrest, to put on lockdown those thoughts that are not pleasing to him. Father, we thank you for your word that is true, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, meaning it is able to lead, guide, direct. Your word is not only true, but your word is truth. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And thank you, Father, that as we read your word and we understand your word, that we'll memorize your word, that we will hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. And then when we come up against those difficult moments when we need an answer, when we need the truth, we can recall it. The Holy Spirit will bring it right back to our remembrance, and we'll be able to walk it out. I thank you, Father, for those that are listening today. Thank you for the practicality of your word, and help us to put it into practice so that we can live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to you. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to be with you, Babby.
Good to see you, my friend. Always good to be with you, too.